If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by MasterClass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. masterclass.com/hardthings.
And because I'm mine, I walk the line.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to We Can Do Hard Things.
It's happening.
I just had to remind myself that I actually do not have to pee. That's just nervousness happening, blooding. We have today Lori Hernandez and Simone Biles.
Oh my God!
Okay, so we are calling this show Three Goats and also Glennon.
Four goats.
Okay, so I mean, joining us today are two of the world's heroes and two of Abby and I's personal heroes.
It's true.
Lori Hernandez and Simone Biles. Lori Hernandez is a second generation American, as her grandparents are from Puerto Rico, making her the first U.S. born Latina to make the U.S. team since 1984. Lori is an Olympic gymnast, winning both gold and silver medals at the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. Her book, I Got This, to Gold and Beyond, and her children's book, She's Got This, are both New York Times bestsellers. Lori is a fierce advocate for the importance of mental health and travels the country speaking to the next generation about following their dreams, because of course she does.
Oh, we love you, Lori, so much. And I have the great pleasure and honor to introduce Simone Biles, one of the greatest gymnasts of all time, and is the first woman to capture five all-around world championship titles. She is the most decorated gymnast in world championship history, male or female.
Male or female.
By the way, she's got 25 medals overall, and 19 of them are gold.
Okay.
And is a 7-time Olympic medalist with 4 gold medals.
That's like a lot more than you.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Let me continue. She earned the rare distinction of having 4 skills named in her honor called the Biles. That's so cool. And then Simone's autobiography, Courage to Soar, is a New York Times bestseller. Simone advocates for change and supports initiatives that provide education and assistance for children and young adults associated with adoption and childcare.
And so these two women, Simone and Lori, and an all-star team of gymnasts are on the road this fall for the 35-city Gold Over America Tour, showcasing their fierce talent and athletic brilliance in ways we've never seen before, their own way. Love this. The show emerges from their personal values of empowerment, friendship, positive body image, mental health awareness, and self-confidence. So before we get started and actually, you know, let Simone and Lori speak, I'm going to tell a little story that you two probably don't even know.
No, they do not.
There's no way.
They don't remember.
But you two are the integral part of one of our favorite family stories. So here's the story, all right? When Abby was still trying to impress our children, she invited us all to go to the ESPYs with her. Okay, so for our listeners who are listening, the ESPYs are like the Oscars for Sporty Spices, okay? They give each other awards. They do all the things. Our children did not want to come until they found out that Simone Biles and Lori Hernandez might be going.
That's right.
Then it became the holy grail to go to this place. They are absolutely and utterly obsessed with you two, okay? Mm. So they came. They got so excited. They saw you from afar at the ESPYs. They died. Then the ESPYs put us in a car.
A van.
Together.
A van.
I remember.
Oh! I also remember this.
Yeah.
You do.
Oh my gosh, yeah, our kids are going to die.
Okay. So we're sitting in the van waiting to go home, and then the door opens and the fancy people put Simone Biles and Lori Hernandez in our van. Now, my girls actually can't handle their shit.
They can't breathe.
Yeah. They can't speak. Yeah. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Sweet Lori Hernandez turns to Tish and says, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And Tish can't speak. She just stares at Lori Hernandez.
She ghosted you. She was just like, turned away.
She says no words. So then Lori Hernandez is so sweet that she then tries to high five Tish, and Tish cannot move and leaves Lori Hernandez hanging. Okay. But then our night is redeemed because Simone Biles turns to Chase and says, "I love your shoes. Can I have your Snapchat so I can post them?" And to this day, that's the most exciting thing that has ever happened to our family.
Aww.
So thank you.
Sweet.
Truly.
Lori, I'm going to start by asking you a question. I know that you are speaking about the importance of mental health on your Gold Over American tour right now. And I'd like to start there. You took a 2-year break from gymnastics after winning gold to recover from an emotionally and verbally abusive coach and to rebuild a healthy relationship with your body. When you told your story in order to have that coach suspended so she didn't harm other athletes, you wrote about how you were constantly told that you were too sensitive and overreacting, that you were crazy for having the feelings you had. You said, "For years, I was taught not to listen to my body or my mind, but now I've learned to trust my gut, and I know that my experience and feelings are valid. No one gets to decide those things for me. Here's to speaking up." So that, Lori, when I read that a long time ago, is when I became your secret best friend and have been your fan ever since. So what I want our audience to know is that you are a hero of this work, the untamed work of reversing the universal gaslighting of women to keep us in our place and keep us performing. To say, "Nope, I'm not crazy. I know." So what does that look for you? What does that look like for you these days to just practice trusting yourself in the world?
Yeah, I think there's probably two things that has made a really big difference over the last couple of years. One of them is just making small decisions. Like, making big decisions was already a big no. It was like, I'm going to need my agent, my mom, my sister, whoever to do that for me. Like, I will not make a decision. And God forbid, if it's wrong, I cannot handle that. I will crumble and disintegrate. Then you will never see me again. And so it became making small decisions, literally like going to Target and picking out a candle, or like going somewhere and picking out a shirt and going and picking out what outfit I'm going to wear for the day, because those things would take me hours just because the idea of making a decision and not being able to trust myself was so heavy. And over the years, you know, kind of now realizing, like, then it turned into me saying, "Is there a way that we can make this event shorter? Is there a way that we can talk about something else? I actually don't like this event, or this day doesn't work for me." And being able to say those things, it took years to get there, but that is also making a decision and trusting your gut. And it was hard to know that about me, because I also didn't know who I was. I didn't know that I wanted that day off. I didn't know that that was an option that I could ask for. Or I didn't know that, I don't know, maybe I wanted to talk about certain things for a really long time, and there are other things that I'm just not interested in. And I can tell somebody that. And so it took a lot of time to get there, but overall, just making little decisions, I think, is what kickstarted that.
Oh, I love that so much.
So Simone, you also famously chose your physical and mental health over the world's expectations of you, and your performance from when you withdrew from the Tokyo Olympics. So a little story, my wife, she immediately understood, she often does, that it was the bravest and most revolutionary thing on earth. And she started talking about it and how you had just begun this revolution of women finally speaking up for themselves. And I really wanted to feel what Glennon was feeling, but I couldn't. And I felt weird. So what ended up happening is I went on a run. And on that run, I realized that what I felt when I watched you do that was jealousy. And I don't know if many people would relate or could relate, but to watch you and women like Lori and Naomi Osaka who are brave and wise enough to look right at the world and the powers that be inside your sport and say, no, enough. I'd rather disappoint you than right. myself. My body and soul are more important than your experience of me. I am more than what I can do for you. I never did that in my career. I just followed directions and kept performing, even when my body and soul were screaming no. I let doctors keep prescribing me pills and just so I can keep performing, by the way. And that actually almost killed me. So I felt jealous because I was watching women, you, at the highest level, do what I wasn't brave enough to do. How did you do that?
You know, in that moment, I had no choice but to do it because selfishly, if I weren't having the twisties, me having my mental, like, well, being so down in the gutter, I would have kept going. But there was a point where my mind and my body had had enough, and it literally was telling me to stop or else I was going to end something that I started years ago and not be able to walk again. So I mean, thankfully my body, it does sync up to your mental and your well-being. So thankfully mine was intact. And unfortunately it was on the biggest stage of my career. But at the end of the day, it's like, I was worth more than gold medals. I was worth more than gymnastics. At the end of the day, I'm not just an athlete. I'm a human, and you guys have to realize that. And I knew I was going to get a lot of backlash, and I did, but most of it was a lot of support, love, strength, courage. And that's something that I never felt before in this sport because people always put me on a pedestal when all I wanted to be was normal. I wanted to be human. I wanted to be looked at as the same as you. I go to the grocery store. I have bills. I have dogs. I have these things. It's just, I do something and I'm incredibly well at it. So why put me on a pedestal? And I always wanted to be seen as normal. So unfortunately it took all of that for people to see me as normal, but it's also really hard for people to understand because they can see physical injury, but whenever it's a mental injury, it's like you can't see it, they can't understand, therefore it's no longer valid. And I think America and just the world has a hard time with dealing with that because it's something they physically can't touch, see, or relate to. But now we have these amazing athletes speaking up, and I think it brings the talk to the forefront. And I think that's a really amazing thing. Ugh.
Yes, to all of that.
I love online shopping. It's how I process my feelings. When you combine the convenience of online shopping with prices that allow you to save 50%, sometimes 80%. It's a slam dunk. And that's why I shop on Quince. No more going to a store and being faced with prices that make your jaw drop. Quince has an amazing selection of lush sweaters, silk tops, timeless jewelry, and everything is priced less than similar brands. Plus, it feels good knowing that whatever I order, I've actually ordered the white gold pave diamond hoop earrings that I'm wearing all the time, was made using safe, ethical practices thanks to Quince's partner process. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/hardthings for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hardthings to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/hardthings.
Lori, I need to ask you, I feel a little bit of a kinship with you because I know that you injured your leg and it forced you to withdraw from the Tokyo Olympics. And you may not know this, but I broke my leg on the field 5 days before our plane was leaving for the 2008 Olympics. So what I want to know is how did you get through that? How did you survive that?
Yeah, you know, time, I don't think there's anything you can actively do besides just give yourself time. Cause it was like going through everything that I had been through, taking 2 years off only to realize that I didn't hate the sport. I hated the environment and I wanted to try it again, but I knew I had such a short time frame and I knew a lot of people weren't going to understand it. I just wanted to try again and I didn't know what was going to happen. I just wanted things to be different. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I moved across the country, trained as hard as possible because I came back really late. So it was like we had a lot of hustling and making up to do. I also hit puberty pretty heavily and had like some disordered eating habits. And a lot of it was like binge eating when I was 17. And so having to get back into training after a completely different body change was really difficult. And all of these things were happening. And then, you know, training for 2 years, we hit 2020. And then in February of 2020, I did a hearing with my old coach. And that happened. They scheduled it on an Olympic year, even though we had reported it 4 years earlier. And I did this hearing. And I remember we had a camp that was that February. And I pulled out just because I couldn't train. And my coach was really understanding about that. She was like, listen, you can come in, you can walk around the gym, and like that's your cardio. If you want to condition, like you don't have to do anything. I'm not going to force you to do anything. I know this is hard. And that was really what I needed, was someone to not push me, because that was the last thing that I wanted or could have handled. And then COVID happened. So we had another year of training. And then it almost like benefited me, just because not having to rush the comeback and to get more skills. And I actually got to play around a little bit, which was not something I got to do a lot growing up. And I think I really just fell in love with the sport all over again. And then meet season came and it was like, we started getting closer and closer, and then made championships and landed on a straight leg, hyperextended my knee, got a bone bruise, a torn meniscus. And then that was it. And the whole journey was just kind of done. Like there's no resolve for that. And, you know, of course going into it, you know, that's a possibility, but when it happens, it's like I had one experience where everything worked out perfectly and I made the team and like we got a gold and I got an individual silver. And then there's the complete opposite of being right there and then getting hurt and not being able to even try at all. Like, so
was that it was like the worst case of FOMO ever? Like when the whole yeah. team leaves and you're like, I guess I'll just watch Netflix. Like how?
So actually, it gets worse because there was an opportunity and I want to do entertainment and be on screen and to do acting and different things like that. Ah. And so Peacock had mentioned like, hey, we would love for you to commentate just the Olympic Games, specifically gymnastics. And I said yes to it because I was like, future me, like this could be really good for the future. Is it good for me right now? No, but it could set up the future really well. And I remember getting there and watching the team compete and wanting everybody to do so well, but also wanting to be out there and then having to break it down for the world. And that was really hard. That sucked. But,
oh my God.
Wow. Well, but you did such a great job, Lori. Your reviews were literally, they were like, replace anybody like Lori needs to commentate all of this. You were getting really good reviews. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank
it's got to be so hard talking and kind of criticizing or critiquing some of what your teammates are actually doing, knowing that you kind of in some ways wanted to be out there. Simone, I want to ask you, what has it been like to be on tour with some of your former teammates and current teammates? Like, how is this tour going?
And how are, yeah. what are you hoping to get out to the audience? Like, what are your messages?
Yeah, for our show, I feel like there's a lot of realness and rawness to it. The storyline is absolutely amazing. We're having fun, but we also go through those anxiety depressions, and it's how we get out of that. And I think that's what's so special about the show that we portray. But it was really nice seeing Lori. I hadn't seen her in a really long time. We see each other at camps, but it's like more business. We're competing against each other. It's like not the
it's
most
so serious.
Fun environment. Yeah, it's like to kind of have that rekindled friendship like in 2016 when we were having so much fun, kind of like sisterly love, has been amazing. It's a really fun environment. There's no competition. We're just trying to provide and shed like a golden light in such a hard time, COVID, whatever everybody else is going through, and just mm-hmm. have fun.
Oh, you created a whole new environment for it, which is so awesome, because Lori, you said that it took you a while to figure out, I don't hate the sport, I just hate the environment, which is, by the way, what I figured out in every area of my life.
I want to ask both Lori and Simone, like when I was younger, I wanted to quit soccer. I think I was like 14 years old and I missed my friends and I wanted to have like a normal life. And someone I loved and who is dear to me looked at me once and said, Abby, you can't quit. You've been given a gift and others would kill to have, right? So you need to do this for all of us. And I remember feeling like, oh, what a burden this is, right? And that sentiment
yeah.
that my talent meant that I owed something to the world was it was a beautiful blessing because it kept me going when I wanted to quit, but it was also a heavy curse because it took away my choice in life. Mm-hmm. Right. It made me feel like my life was chosen for me and it didn't matter whether I love soccer or not. It was like my destiny and responsibility. So do either of you feel like your talent and your greatness is both a curse and a blessing?
Very much yeah. so. I feel the exact same. If you want to quit, people kind of push that on you. Like you've been given this God-given talent. Don't waste it, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if I'm not enjoying it, then it's a burden. Like it's hard. So I do feel in a way it's been the biggest blessing in my life because look what it's given us and the opportunities that it's brought. But on the down end, it's like people don't get that we go through these depression modes and this and that. And it's from our sports because sometimes we're not enjoying it. But then on the other hand, they're like, well, look at the life you've been given. And it's like, but I worked my ass off for it. It's like, it wasn't handed to me. I had to work extremely hard. And so there is definitely both of those sides that I see, that it's hard and it's a blessing, but sometimes it can be a curse.
Mm-hmm. Lori, yeah, what about you?
I think people see us do incredible things and they think, wow, I would never be able to do that. I have to let them know how crazy this is, or like, that's inhuman. Mm-hmm. Like, this is nothing like I've seen before. And then it's like immediate, you are now here and I am here. I have created this disconnect between you and I. You and I are not human. I am human. What you do, crazy, could never touch it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, we are human. And when the expectation mm-hmm. is put on us to do something superhuman, essentially, which is what we do in gymnastics and in every sport, we train hard as hell. And there's this idea yeah. that, oh, you're a different breed. Oh, you're a different thing. And it's like, no, I'm a human. I work my ass off to get here. I am you, right. but a different font. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. And I think that's where language. The burden comes from, because then we have this expectation, not only if we want to quit, essentially, then we have other people blaming us for not giving them what they want, which is entertainment or this, that, the other. So it is really hard to find the happy medium.
Oh, well, I mean, yes, but what you need to know is regardless of what the circumstances are were surrounding Tokyo, all of that. I mean, I have threads with friends who mm-hmm. after that were just like, wait, no, thank you. No to that. Yeah. And also that. And right. additionally, no again. And no, yeah. no. I mean,
a lot of us didn't know we could quit.
Well, yeah, there's this idea that if you, I don't like the word quitting because I feel like it has such a negative connotation to it. Like if you don't want to do something anymore, you can choose to stop doing said thing and then do something that makes you happy. You're not a quitter. You are choosing your own happiness. And I hate when people are like, oh, you quit, or, oh, I just quit. She's a quitter. He's a quitter. They're a quitter, whatever right. it is. Like that is not it. You chose to yes. stop. Yes. It Lori. Wasn't an accident. It was an Tell intention. Her. And I hate that shit.
Okay, sorry. Here's why you hate that word, Lori. The origin of that word is quietus, and it means to set yourself free.
Right. Okay.
It always had a positive connotation. It only had a negative connotation during when the Industrial Revolution happened, when everyone decided that we should be machines.
Yep.
So you are correct. Quit is a choice. Like no, thank you. I value my right. humanity.
The part I think that irritates me the most is when like the haters call me quitters. It's like, you guys have wanted to see me fail for 7 years and I finally did failure in your eyes and you're still mad at me. I don't get it.
Like, how are you going to go and judge her for choosing an option? I'm like, you fuckers didn't even try. And you're going right. to go yes. ahead and like yes. bash on her career and be like, oh, she's a quitter. Did you try?
That's did right.
you yeah. No, nothing, no, sit down.
Nothing
me funny. Tweet in the draft.
You guys wanted to see me fail. I failed in your eyes. And then you're still mad that I failed. Like, what else do you want?
That's the unfortunate problem that
I
most
just
women
don't
are
understand.
Successful mm-hmm. women only have a certain length of runway, right?
And yes.
Unfortunately, don't go away because they're telling you to. Go away because that's your choice, right?
Right, right, right.
Soda is delicious. Let's get that out of the way. Lemon lime, root beer, cherry cola. These are flavors that remind us of summer, of fun family days, of nostalgic moments in our lives. But it's soda, which naturally comes with its downside. Unless, of course, you reach for Olipop. Olipop uses functional ingredients with much less sugar than conventional sodas. And their flavors are still delicious and versatile. Orange squeeze to complement your burger, classic root beer for those who like a heartier taste, and a brand new lemon lime variety for those who seek out some citrusy tang. Long story short, Olipop is a great way to indulge in a delicious drink and bring back some of those nostalgic flavors from your childhood. I love Olipop. Olipop is sold online at drinkolipop.com or Amazon and available in almost 30,000 retailers nationwide, including Walmart, Target, Kroger, Whole Foods, and more. Plus, when you use code HARDTHINGS on their website, you can get 20% off your order. That's drinkolipop.com, code HARDTHINGS.
Okay, speaking of good things, we are completely obsessed with the pictures, Simone, that you post of you and your boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's something about your relationship. It just feels beautiful and triumphant and mm-hmm. just feels mm-hmm. like a way of you publicly claiming your own humanity. Like, this is for me. This love is mine. I get to be human too. Mm-hmm. So tell us about Jonathan and how do you keep that love protected from the world? Because it feels like you do. And what I also want to know from you too is what are the other things in your life that you feel like are just yours and yours alone?
I feel like, first of all, he's absolutely amazing. Loves me through thick, thin. He just loves me for me and who I am and not what I do or who the world perceives me as. So I think that's really special. But I also think we keep our love protected, not only because I feel like you could put your relationship out there, and I feel like we don't do that as much because that's something sacred to us, but it's also because we're so busy. So whenever we're at the house, because we do live together, we're just like either watching Netflix or a movie or outside in the pool or playing with the dogs. So a lot of that stuff doesn't get documented, but it's also, it's like, we don't have to prove to anybody how much we love each other because we know home is home and that's us and our dogs. And so I think that's very special. The kind of relationship that we have, and we're always cooking dinner for each other together. And our schedules are kind of hectic, but it works and we make time for each other. And so I think that's also the beauty of love.
It is. Instagram less. Look at Simone having good boundaries.
No, I think we do, but I also feel like we're in a point in our lives and an age in our lives where we have nothing to prove to anybody. Like, we live with each other. We're doing great. We don't really argue. And if it is, it's about like who took which charger from the kitchen.
That's right.
I feel like that's literally the biggest arguments that we have. Totally. He was running around the house before I left for tour, claiming a charger was his. And I'm chasing him. And I'm screaming like, that's my charger. And he's just cracking up. And I'm like, I swear, like I'll order you a new one on Amazon. And we're just like fighting about that stuff. And I think it's people don't realize that, but we're at an age, people are like, why are you even dating him? He doesn't post you on his Instagram. And it's like, I'm sitting next to him right now. I've been sitting next to him for 4 hours. We stare at each other. Like, we have nothing to prove to anybody. And I mean, Instagram is beautiful and it can be beautiful, but we have nothing to really prove to anybody.
Oh,
so good.
Amen. What about you, Lori? What keeps you human? What are your things that remind you that you are a human being and not just a gymnastics machine?
Yeah, I think everybody in my inner circle, between my person and my friends and my family, like those moments when we're at home and same thing, we're watching Netflix and we're doing absolutely nothing and we're making tea and everything is very quiet and mellow. It is quite the opposite of a gymnastics world or a gymnastics meet. It is loud. You have your hair and makeup done. You're walking around in leotards. Like, my cheeks are out because it has to be that way. Like, just there's a lot of performance that's happening before it's you even get forceful into the arena. It's so forceful. I'm like, I have to braid my hair because everybody braids their hair. There's just a lot of performance happening. And it's like when we're home, I look like I just crawl down out of all fours from under the bed. And I have like one sleeve out and like my leggings, one leg is pulled up and one is down. And I plop down with the bowl of popcorn. I'm like, all right, what are we watching next? And they're like, you get to pick today. And it's just, that is something that gymnastics could never touch. And that is something that is sustainable and it lasts as long as we want it to. And gymnastics cannot give me that. And it feels really good.
Yes. You have nothing to prove there. Those are your bits. Yeah. I love my dogs. They're the my dogs are the people who the less I do, the more I love. They love me. Don't you have a dog named Honey, Lori?
I do. We actually switched her name to Chewbacca because she got a little crazy. And when her hair grows out, she looks like a little Ewok. So if we go Chewie, she listens and responds a little bit better to that. But yes.
Oh my God. The dog previously known as Honey is now Chewbacca. That's amazing. Okay. So both of you, we are raising three kids. And most people who are raising kids have them in some kind of institution, church, school, right, team, something, right? So one of your teammates recently said of the abuse inside gymnastics, all we needed was one adult to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Every conscious adult heard that loud and clear from all of you. So how do we make our institutions safer for our children? Like, what is it that you needed one adult to do?
Speak up, not break a law. Like, even if it costs you your job, at least you can go home, sit down on your couch and be like, I did the right thing and I protected hundreds of girls, but instead you kept that inside and hundreds of us were abused. That I don't think I'll ever live with. And I don't get how they have to be sociopaths to sit down at home and think they did the right thing. I would never, if I see anything, it's like, I go to Cecile. I go to my parents. Like, I speak up, even if it's little, like that just blows my mind. But
I totally
what my parents have done, my parents actually do own a gym. They built it kind of after all of that, a little bit before, but they wanted it to be completely transparent. So all of our viewing windows can see the whole entire gym to stop that abuse of any sort. And so you'll think like the coaches are like joking with the athletes, but from upstairs, maybe the parents look like it's yelling. So they'll call down to the coach.
Oh,
and so they're like, are you yelling at my daughter? They're like, no, we're joking. So now then the coaches aren't allowed to have phones on the floor, this and that. But there are different ways in doing it. But if you just have one adult that speaks up, especially if they have kids, that's what worries me the most, is some of these parents had kids. And I mean, you should do the right thing, because I know Lori and I had spent the majority of our lives in the time of our days with our coaches. So we kind of become daughter-like to them because we're with them more than our parents. So it's just, it's a crazy world out there.
Yeah, it was just one person who's witnessing it, like completely different situation, but being at the gym and hearing my coach scream at the top of her lungs that we would get noise complaints from the parking lot because they could hear her. And another coach being in the gym and coming to me afterwards because I was crying, because I hated that, because I was a child and what child wants to be yelled at that loudly.
Right.
And her saying, I remember it like it was yesterday, her saying, you know, she just wants the best for you.
Oh.
And it's
like,
but
she cannot yell at you that way.
Yeah. And it's like, she just wants, she pushes you this hard because like she wants you to be great and da, da, da. And I'm like, did you hear the words she said? I'm like, it's not even like she said anything nice and then yelled it with quote, quote, passion. Like she said something really messed up and then proceeded to yell it. And you're telling me that she's doing this because she wants the best for me. It's the equivalent of like when little kids are at school and they're like, oh, he's being mean to you because he likes you. Like, no, that's not how it goes. And I just had that person looked and said, you know what? Seeing an adult yell at a kid is not the way to go. And then telling somebody about it or coming to me and saying, are you okay? That seemed really scary because I now have to do that for little me when she was right there and she could have done that. But
I read that you said that, Lori, and that like what you're doing right now is for little Lori and for all the little Loris. I mean, that you have become what you needed when you were younger, both of you. And what the hell better thing can we do? What right. better thing can we do? It's just...
Well, and it gets really confusing as an athlete, because I know in my experience, being pushed requires, or so I thought, like we rationalize all of this stuff And one day Glennon, I said, well, it just made me stronger. That's what I said. Well, it made me stronger, made me who I was. And she said, could you imagine not having experienced some of that, how much more strong you probably could have been?
Yeah.
I think about that a lot.
Because it made you stronger as an athlete, but weak as a person. And I think people take advantage of that.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what it meant. Retweet.
I think also some people, like some people probably look at the experience and they feel bad and they don't know what to say. And they're like, well, it made you stronger. And I'm like, actually, no, it just really made things a lot worse. Like not much came from that, except for the fact that now I have time to work on myself. And it is so painful to have to become the thing that you needed at that time. It is a painful process. And so I think people are like, oh, but that makes you stronger. I'm like, that actually didn't have to happen, but thank you for the attempt of kind words.
That's right.
So maybe we stop that though. Maybe we stop just assigning that to, it's just another form of like, women have to be grateful all the time. Well, I was abused, but I guess it made me stronger. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't have to suffer. People can treat us well and that can make us strong.
That's right. So I have to ask, because I know we don't have a ton of time left, and I have to know this, because we are people who have been training for a whole lifetime. I didn't understand how weird that life is until I retired and experienced how other people live. And I spent my entire career desperate for more freedom. And then when I got it, I felt literally paralyzed.
You lost your mind.
Terrified. Mm-hmm. Of that freedom. So, I mean, literally for decades, I had a daily itinerary slipped under my hotel door back when they used paper for folks, told me what to eat, what to do every hour, right? I literally didn't know how to create a day
for
myself.
Lori just lifted hers up. She has her itinerary in front of her.
Yes.
Right.
So do you think about life after gymnastics, and what are your hopes and dreams for the next phase? What do you want to be and do? I'm so curious, like, if you even have started that process.
I feel like it's hard because, like you said, we have our daily schedules. And if it's not in the gym, it's by our agencies. But it's also things that we love and we chose to do. But at the end of the day, life without a schedule, even on my Sundays and stuff, I give myself a schedule because I don't know how to work without one. I feel lazy, useless. But then other days it's like, no, I'm going to take this day to rot and do nothing. And I have to appreciate that. So I do think it is hard. But if I have a hope for my future, it would definitely be to help foster kids and the foster care system. Because that's something that I feel really passionate about. But other than that, I feel like I've dedicated my whole life to gymnastics. So it's time to give myself some me time before I figure out the next thing.
Yes, please.
What about you, Lori?
Yeah, I think just following curiosity, me and my person made a vow that like we would never do anything that we felt we were stuck in. Like as soon as you hit the point where you feel like you're trapped and like you don't want to be there and that you wish you were doing something else, like you desperately wish you were somewhere else, that's it. We're going to do something different or something's got to change. But I would love to go to college and hopefully study acting and screenwriting and animation and stuff like that, just because I think it's so much fun and I find a lot of joy in it. But I've also kept in mind, like, okay, if one day you wake up and you hate it, we're going to do something else. And I'm sure there's something that I'm curious about and I'll just follow it and see where it goes. And then if I hate that thing, there's more. So,
right. I love it. We were at this place recently. We saw this rock that said, bloom where you are planted. And we're like, but we're not plants. Like, people have like, we can move.
Legs.
Like, that's a good philosophy for plants. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Right? We can change our circumstances. I love
that. But I think in today's age, we're so kind of brainwashed of that. And it's almost forced upon us. And we think that's the only way to live life is you have to hate it because you're either making money or this and that. But it's like, no, we can find other things. Just because you have a degree in this doesn't mean that's what you have to follow through at. Yes. There are a lot of different avenues for us as a person. And that's how we actually grow.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's what you're doing right now with this tour. I mean, it's so wonderful because there's nothing I like to see you keeping that love that you have, or, you know, with of gymnastics, but then doing it your way with your people is so
creating the world in which you need,
yeah,
in which mm-hmm. you needed in order to be safe, to be free, and to be happy. Like, that's what yes. y'all are doing. You're trying to show the world what you need, right?
Right.
If they don't have it, if there is nothing out there,
make
go
it.
Ahead and make it. And that's what y'all are doing.
The goat tour is.
The goat tour. I love
it. IXL. Remember those three letters the next time your child asks you for help on homework. IXL Learning is an online learning community for kids that covers core subjects like math, science, and social studies in a helpful, feedback-driven way. So the fact that we cannot help our children with our homework now, which I actually cannot and stop being able to help them with after fourth grade, has been solved. IXL Learning's advanced algorithm is backed by research, and in studies done in nearly every state across the country, those who use IXL are consistently performing better in school. Plus, their subscription covers pre-K to 12th grade, and that wide range of ages and subjects is one of the many reasons why IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and We Can Do Hard Things listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/wecan. Visit IXL.com/wecan if you cannot help your child with their homework anymore. And there, get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Our friend Cameron Esposito told us this story the other day that she was working with this personal trainer who was really young, like 25 or something. Mm-hmm. She said, well, what are you going to do? You know, where are you going to work next? And he said, I think I'm going to quit personal training because I just feel like I've helped enough people. And I was like, that's the most revolutionary thing I've ever heard.
I've done it.
You yeah. two have helped enough effing
that's right.
people.
That's right.
And if you want to just dance off into the sunset and follow your curiosities forever, that's what you freaking should do.
Okay, so we that. Need to get Thank into you. Some rapid fire questions because I love the rapid fire. So sorry if you don't love them.
Also, You're we just good. Want to know what you guys like consume because we just want to be more like you. We want to have what you're having. So tell us, what does your perfect day look like right now? Your perfect day, morning to night, what would you do?
Oh, if I could have a perfect day, it's definitely at the beach. That's where I most feel free.
Oh, most feel free. Love it.
I love that for you. My perfect day would be sleeping in, having morning coffee, doing some kind of podcast, binge watching movies, and then eventually having to go outside just because it that feels right, and then coming back inside.
I love it. I used to get grounded outside, Lori, when I was little because I hated the outside so much. Okay. What's your favorite movie, both of you?
Ooh, mine is any comedy movie. Comedy. I love to laugh. You go first, Lori. Let me come back.
Okay. I have three, well, technically four all-time favorites that they all tie together. It's Tangled, The Spy Who Dumped Me, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and Silver Linings Playbook.
That's amazing. She knows them in order.
Good.
I heart right now.
I know.
Love it. Good picks.
I can't even remember it. What it is, but it's on Netflix. She was in, she went to New Orleans with the girls.
Something Great. No.
She took there was four girls. They went to New Orleans and they were partying in New Orleans.
Oh, shoot. I know what you're talking about. We're going to figure it out. We're going to find out the title. We'll put it in the show notes.
I love that when we say we're going to put it in the show notes.
I know. We don't even know what the hell that is.
Girls trip. It's Girls Trip.
Yes. Very good.
What about your most favorite book you've ever read?
Or just what you're reading now, because that's stressful.
I just finished a book that was 835 pages. It's called Priory of the Orange Tree. And it is incredible. I love fiction books. It was the most mind-blowing thing I have ever read. I will now be disappointed with every other book I read.
Oh my God. Can you just say the title one more time?
Good job for you, Lori.
Can you say the title again? What was the title?
Priory of the Orange Tree.
Oh, okay. I'll be getting it.
It's good.
What about you, Simone?
I don't really read.
That's
really
okay.
Read.
Guess what I do? Okay. I never really read a lot, but now in my retirement, I have to run so that I stay fit and healthy. And so I listen to books on tape. Yeah. That's how I consume
books. Oh, that's
books.
So smart.
That's how
but
I consume
But one of my
books.
Favorite ones that I did read would be The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, that's a good
that
book.
Was a great book.
Simone, you could write that book.
Do you guys have any favorite podcasts you're listening to?
Okay, so the girls got there me hooked on. One. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying like this one. I love listening to you guys chat. And so I'm just like, oh my God, it's happening. The crossover is happening. So this one and then Armchair Expert just feels like a fly on the wall.
Yep.
So fun.
You guys have so much time. I guess since I was so still training, I just slept or ate or I was at the gym.
Yeah. Simone, everyone else on earth has a lot more time than you do. That's
I know. I really do feel like that right now. But the girls kind of are getting me hooked on a podcast called Serial. And it's like these like murder crime mysteries.
Oh
so.
My gosh.
Look at him.
Okay. So listen to me. Like when this is before podcasts were a thing.
Yeah.
This is back when I was still playing Serial came out. And it was like, it blew our whole team away.
Right.
And I ended up sitting next to the creator of that podcast. And it was like, that was my claim to fame moment. I was like, I love that podcast so
she
much.
She loves murders. I just feel like so life good. Is scary enough and we don't need to add more
It
murders.
Is, but it's so interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I like reading the murder mysteries.
Okay, music. And then we're gonna let you go. Music. What kind of music do you listen to?
Ooh, right now, my favorites would probably be Doja Cat, Meg Thee Stallion. Yeah.
Those are our son's two favorite people. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Lori?
I like anything that could be played on a road trip in the early morning. There's a song called Little Giant that I have been nonstop listening to. And the lyrics are adorable and it feels like an ear hug.
Okay. So your next right thing, people, is to follow every single thing that Lori Hernandez and Simone Biles do.
Find their tour.
Additionally, go to the GOAT Tour. Bring your kids. This is the good stuff.
Is it called the Gold Tour?
No, the GOAT Tour.
Is it for real called the GOAT Tour?
Yes, because G-O-A-T.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Gold Over America Tour.
That's right.
Okay, and Simone and Lori, I would like to end with this. When Abby retired, Barack Obama tweeted out, congrats to the GOAT. And Abby called her agent so sad and upset because she didn't know what a GOAT was and she thought that Barack Obama was making fun of her.
I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. What?
I'm
and I was
dying.
Like, oh, so that's good. Oh. That's a good thing. He's like, yes, it's a good thing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh. We love you. We believe so strongly in you. We just want to be your aunts or your big sisters. Oh. And we want you to know that we will be in both of your corners forever. And please let us know if you need anything in the world.
Thank you.
We will be in your corner forever.
Thank you
of
so
course,
much.
Of course, thank
you,
guys. You for having so us. This is wonderful.
We love you both.
Yes. We love you too. Thank you so much. Have
Go
a great
the
day.
Tour, everybody. I give you Tish Melton and Brandi Carlile.
I walked through fire. I came out the other side. I chased desire. Continue to believe that I'm the one for me, and because I'm mine, I walk the line. 'Cause we're adventurers and heartbreaks on map, a final destination. Stopped asking directions to places they've never been. And to be loved, we need to be known. We'll finally find our way back home. And through the joy and pain that our lives bring, we can do hard. I hit rock bottom, it felt like brand new start. I'm not the problem. Sometimes things fall apart, and I continue to
Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are rich in culture, history, and art. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why I want to tell you about Travel Oregon. When you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts, and this is a game changer. Instead of trying to find a good hiking trail and hope for the best, you can get a tour guide to bring you to the must-see spots, ensure you're provided with all the necessary safety gear, and show you all the amazing little nuggets you might miss on your own. And because the guides and tour companies are small businesses, they're led by incredibly passionate people. You can find experts who speak multiple languages and know about a variety of cuisines. Or if you want a biking tour, you can find local guides to help you to customize your tour. There's so much to explore. Learn more at traveloregon.com.